So this is our third Sunday of our Lenten sermon series titled Holy Play. And it references a book, surprise, surprise, named Holy Play. And the book is authored by Reverend Dr. Kirk Byron Jones. Jones is professor at Andover Newton Theological Seminary today in Boston. And you saw the Reverend in front of his name. He is also a Baptist pastor. And so with that, what Jones says in this chapter of his book is that how we envision God matters to all of us. That makes sense, right? How we envision God. And I look back in my life, if I take youth, young adult to middle adulthood, I had a perspective and envisioning of God that is actually different from what I have today. So that happens, where through time, as we grow and learn, we may envision God differently. Well, so the God I envisioned earlier in my life was one that was almighty and powerful. That's a good thing, right? In fact, it's an excellent thing, because God is that. In fact, when I was in seminary, I learned there's a fancy word for that. It's omnipotent. Don't worry, there's no test on this. But, right, omnipotent means almighty and powerful God. Is that, right? God is that. But I will tell you that my envisioning moved towards, with that, a learning and understanding of a God that was a ruler of the world, the universe, and judge. That wasn't quite so good in learning later some different envisionings of God. Because what happened is, I found that unknowingly, I would feel like I was earning God's pleasure, being pleased with me, right? Earning. Yeah. Trying to get kudos and points, right? As a judge and ruler. Another envisioning I had of God, and I still do, is one, God is creator and source. Okay? God is that. I mean, God created the universe, created us, created all of the creatures. Unbelievable creation, right? And source of that creation is God. But here's where it got a little, because I understood God also was the creator and source of everything I do. And that became, I learned later, problematic, because I felt like God was the cause of my ability to be a creative person, inventive, and etc. That all came from God fully. And I found that I was more dependent on God, not realizing that God had instilled in me divine ingenuity. We'll talk about that in a moment. So, with that, this is what Jones had to say about kind of what I just talked about in my envisioning earlier in my life. Jones says, I believe there are ways of viewing God that have the unintended, and I would argue ungodly, effect of diminishing human creativity and ingenuity. For example, a view of God as judge may go a long way toward limiting freedom of expression. We hush ourselves for fear that what we present may not be pleasing to God. It's what I just talked about, isn't it? Right? And one of the things I did learn as I saw God more as ruler and judge is an anxiousness and a little bit of a fear of God, just what Jones is talking about. Joan continues and says, even an innocent and respectful estimation of God as the source, kind of like I was mentioning, can do unwitting damage. Is God the only source of inventiveness and creativity, or has God placed a considerable amount of divine genius in every human person? Good two questions. Joan says, I believe it's the latter, that God has gifted us divine ingenuity and creativity for our lives. So how do we know this? Well, our scripture today talks about this. Because our scripture today, what Jesus says is, says, so as the Father has loved me, as my Father has loved me, so I love you. Strong, right? Father, you can insert mother. Father, mother, love of us by Jesus and by God. That is an incredibly wonderful relationship to have, that motherly, fatherly way of thinking, right? And then Jesus says, and I tell you this because first off, he says further, fatherly, motherly, he says, and you are my friend. So what relationships do we have? Father, mother, now we have friend. Right? And then Jesus goes further and says, anything you ask of me in my name, my Father will give you. That's pretty loving, saying that whatever we need to be creative, ingenious, etc., that would be gifted to us. And then finally, Jesus also says, I tell you all of this because I want my joy to be in you. What did Jesus just tell us? God is a joyful God. How does that feel? And oh, by the way, not only is God a joyful God, but that God wants us to be joyful. And then Jesus goes one step further and says, because I want your joy to be complete. Wow. That feels good, huh? Did you hear any judge or rule in that? No. We'll talk about how that might have appeared in thinking of relationship of God. Well, so our scripture lets us know, mother, father, friend, joyful. So Jones says, you know, every so often I have things in my home that I need to throw away that have lost their usefulness. Anybody have that happen? In fact, Jones says, you know, there was this rug that I'd had for decades. It worked really well, but it become kind of lost its luster. And I finally threw it away. And Joan says, guess what? There are thoughts on how we envision God in our relationship that might need to move to the garbage. How about that? Huh. Says you might want to move them away. right? And have them come away from our thinking. In fact, he specifically says, seeing God exclusively as omnipotent, there's that fancy word, protective parent, judge, and ruler has a significant drawback. Dependency, our complete dependency on God versus partnership with God. And notice he says protective parent. Now, earlier in our scripture, we saw mother-father is a great relationship. But if you're not careful, have you ever heard of helicopter parents? Right? That's kind of a terminology, right? It can go too far to where all of a sudden you're not allowing your child or youth to become their own, right? And to try out things on their own, creativity, etc. Too protective. And Jones is speaking of that. And then Jones has one more area that we might want to throw out as garbage. He says, theological adult ponderings about God that prevent childlike, whimsical, playful interpretations of God. Jones is saying that sometimes we think of God in such an adult-ish way that it becomes very serious and moves us to this judge and ruler, and God does everything in controlling us, which is not God. But we tend to go that way. And he said, no, think of it more childlike. In fact, he gets specific. He says, we don't need to think more adult thoughts that are closed and rigid about God, which is the rigidness of judge, ruler, right, source. Jones says, we will never come into our own glory and strength if we totally rely on God's divine power. What he's saying is, partner with God, let God guide us, support us, but not say, so God, take care of all of this in my life. Right? Where it's all on God, because God wants us to be creative, ingenious, co-creating. If we totally rely on God's divine power, Jones says we will never come into our own glory if we totally rely on God's divine power. This adult thinking of God also causes us to be pitted against the understandings and ways of others in a bid for philosophical and theological supremacy. Oh my, what is that? What it says is our adult thinking, theological thinking about God can cause us to create a God relationship that causes us to, what we think, how we think the world should be, we use God to say, God said this and that, and so therefore, we're using it as a tool to compare to other people's thinkings about God. That's pretty deep, isn't it? But if we do childlike thinking about God, we'll stay away from that. All right. Does that feel better than adult ponderings, a rainbow? Yeah. Jones says, enter more childlike thoughts about God. Enter a God who prances, dances, smiles, and laughs. Enter a God whose greatest use of power is gifting it. So we talked about that earlier. Remember our scripture said, anything you ask for in my name, Jesus says, God the Father will provide to support us, right? To gift to us, to give us the creativity in our life. Enter a God who lives in an ocean of imagination and wonder and loves at no end when children and adults jump in for faithful fun of it. But most of all, enter a God who walks, speaks, and sings new songs of inspiration, fulfillment, and sings with us. Here's a question. A singing, prancing God. Image that. Notice that our songs today and each Sunday are about joy and love, right? Yeah. Walking on a rainbow. That's what God wants for us. Doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect. Doesn't mean there won't be challenges. Okay. So throughout the Bible, we see a prancing, joyful God. Jesus. What did he do with water? Turned it into wine. Is that a happy, joyful, right? That was, by the way, at a wedding celebration. Joyful, a celebration, right? Jesus walked on water, kind of like walking on the rainbow. How about that? Jesus healed without medicine. How about that? And Jesus even faced death for us, for others, and himself in a loving way of eternal life. So instead of the garbage that Jones talked about that we may want to put out, which is the ruler, judge, thinking of Jesus and God as guide, father, mother, companion, friend, spirit, mystery. By the way, think of other relationships you might like to have. Some people say coach, right? Teacher. All of these, do they take away our creativity? No. God's not doing it all for us. All right. Jones also says, you can think of God imaginatively, and he mentions as a jazz musician. Okay, I love that one. Some of y'all may have heard. So I played trombone through high school and college, and then I was even in a church jazz band for 10 years. I love jazz. Would you agree jazz is pretty creative? Right? So if you think of God as joyful and creative, I liked what Jones mentioned on jazz, right? Very creative. But these jazz musicians, they are creating, right? And God has gifted them divine abilities for them to be able to create just like us. Okay. Jones says, think of the quotes of the great jazz musicians. Duke Ellington always said that his favorite composition was his next one. Is he looking forward to creating? Is God creating for him? Not really. God's providing the gifts and the talents and supporting, but not doing it for him, right? It's a partnership. Remember Miles Davis? Encouraged musicians to go beyond themselves to the new place and the next place and even beyond that. Does that feel creative? Ingenious. And then there's Ella Fitzgerald. And she sings Reach for Tomorrow. Just like the next song, right? Very creative. All right. And then the last one that Jones said, Jones likes to think of God as the ocean. You're like, what? The ocean. Okay, I'm letting y'all know, you can think of God all kinds of ways on your own that are joyful and, right? So here, Jones says, God as an expansive ocean of unconditional love. This came to Jones when trying to fathom God's ability to bear the brokenness and grief of all history. Jones imagined God's tears filling the ocean. which formed a body of water that somehow was sufficing enough to bear and transform it all. To support all of our hurts and pains, God's tears fill the ocean, and God is the ocean as a way to think of God. All right, last item. So Kirk Byner and Jones. By the way, I hadn't shown a photo of Jones. There he is. It's our author. It says, fill your understanding of God with more joyful, playful, and freeing perspectives, and realizing purpose, our passion and purpose in life. Okay? And realizing purpose becomes a more joyful, playful, and freeing enterprise. Changing your perception about God has the power to unleash powerful new creative energy inside you. Changing your belief about God will light your imagination, causing you to see possibilities and prospects for your life you never imagined before. Praise be to God.